If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to StephanieMiller.com to find out how.
All right, very exciting show today. In fact, I have been dying to have my friend Ron Reagan Jr. on because we've got, obviously, Cece Goldwater was in here not too long ago, and we've just been talking about how Republican after Republican, whether you're watching them on TV or elsewhere, it has said, this is not my party, this is not my president. Ron Reagan Jr. joins us now. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning.
I have explained to you before that my 94-year-old Trump-voting Republican mom does wrinkle her nose when I mention your name.
I'm sure she does.
She likes Michael very much.
I'm not popular with the Trump babe.
Yeah, I try to, when I have that discussion with her, like, you know, Mom, a lot of prominent Republican families don't support him, and so I'll say Ron Reagan, she'll just go, oh, I like that Michael.
Yeah. Such a nice boy.
But, you know, I was saying, I just had Cece Goldwater in here, and it was interesting. She confirmed to me that no living member of the Goldwater family supports Trump. And I think it really is amazing, right, when you find yourself retweeting Bill Kristol and God knows how many other Republicans, right?
Yeah, I mean, nobody with a frontal cortex supports Trump at this point. Trump is our national disaster, you know, unfolding, downward spiraling national disaster. It's I know it's a cliche to say this now, that it's unprecedented or unprecedented, if you prefer his right. Iteration of it. But it is. As a country, we've never experienced something like this before. We've had bad presidents. You know, Richard Nixon wasn't great, but he had some strong points. He did create the Environmental Protection Agency, for instance.
Right.
You know, George W. Bush, of course, you know, perhaps the worst president up to this point, given his, you know, monumental disaster in Iraq and becoming a war criminal by torturing people.
Right.
But that, even that was of a different sort. We've
right.
never had a president of the United States, and people in the media are now at least starting to broach the topic, a president of the United States who, frankly, is pathological.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something wrong with this man. I'm not going to diagnose him. I'm not
right.
qualified to do so, not interested either. But there is clearly, just as a human being watching him, there is something wrong with this person.
Right. Well, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. We've never been through this as a country where you know, you have any number of Republicans, military officials, intelligence experts, psychiatrists saying the same thing, saying this man is dangerous, is unstable, is unfit. I mean, all, words like that, right?
Well, indeed, and it's obvious to everybody. Look, crazy is, you know, crazy is obvious to most of us. You can spot crazy a half a block away coming down the sidewalk. You know, you can just tell by the body language. You can tell by the chatter. You know, you can just spot it, and you spot it here. But we're not used to you know, seeing that in a president of the United States.
Right.
And the world is not used to seeing this in a president of the United States. It's one thing for, you know, Silvio Berlusconi to be a bit of a whack job in Italy, you know, for 20 years or whatever it was. He's still there, by the way.
Right.
But that's, you know, that's too bad for Italy. But that's Italy.
Right.
The world is not counting on Italy as the indispensable nation. It's a lovely place. I spend a lot of time there. But, you know, it's a different kind of country. You know, the world looks to America for a lot of things. They
right.
look to us to be the adult in the room, frankly,
right.
the grown-up in the room. And we're just not anymore.
How does it, I'm just always curious how it makes you feel personally when you keep seeing Republicans claiming the mantle of Reagan, to be the party of Reagan, when they're kind of virtually against everything that he stood for almost at this point, aren't they?
I mean, yeah, of course. I mean, we all know that my father's record on, you know, abortion, while he was anti-abortion, he signed a very liberal abortion law in California when he was the governor. He did want to eliminate nuclear weapons. Let's not forget that.
Yep.
He didn't want to use them on somebody, as this president seems to feel is appropriate. But I got used to that a long time ago. The Republicans would always try and, you know, put on my father's old suits and walk around, you know. My father never pretended to be anybody but himself.
Right.
So,
but I mean, look at the difference too with, you know, as they always scream amnesty, you know, but that your dad
Yeah.
You know, in terms of illegal immigration.
Yes, exactly.
But I mean, we go from that to a president that is literally threatening to shut down you know, right. the government of the United States of America overbuilding a ridiculous border wall.
Wall that yeah. nobody wants. Yeah, exactly, and that won't ultimately be built.
Right.
Really, yes. But why not shut down the government? Why not you know, ruin the full faith and credit of the United States because you have this idea about a wall? The,
yeah.
the thing about the immigration, too, and you related it to my father. My father certainly believed that America had a right to control its borders and, you know, was not for just letting anybody in and, you know, all of that. But he didn't hate Mexican people.
Right.
That was the thing. It wasn't animated by a sense of, I don't like these people.
Right.
He loved Mexican culture. He used to go down and ride horses in Mexico. He was, you know, so it had nothing to do, there was no racial element or ethnic element in the whole thing. This time, there is, clearly.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Well, I mean, you also, I think you were on MSNBC recently, you said that Trump is a prime agent of chaos. And don't we remember now Hillary Clinton saying he is the chaos candidate and this would be the chaos presidency? I mean, she was right about virtually everything.
It's fascinating to me how often human beings will look at something and, you know, you recognize it, that you can't help but recognize it, but will ignore it anyway. This has been apparent since before Trump even began to run for president.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, you know, listen, I lived in New York for some years back in the 70s and 80s. You know, I know Donald Trump. I don't know him personally, but I'm aware of him, been aware of him for a long time. He's always been a lightweight clown. You know, nobody's
right.
ever taken him seriously. You know, and it was certainly obvious when he began his whole birther thing.
Yeah.
You know, right away you knew this is an unbalanced individual. This is not somebody who's got the truth in him, first of all.
Right.
And it's somebody who's cavalier about just telling all sorts of nonsense lies. Is this really the sort of person you want running for president?
Well, I mean, yeah, it was. I love that it took some people till Charlottesville to say, oh, he seems kind of racist. But, you know, I feel like, Ron, between all of the breaking Russia news and Charlottesville, and I feel like we're getting to, I don't know whether it's a tipping point, but it feels like definitely a critical mass that.
Yeah, I felt that too with Charlottesville, just watching the media coverage. I mean, I've been tipped for,
yeah,
for a
yeah,
long
we,
time.
We started tipped.
I didn't need another thing to tip me over the edge. But I did sense in the media that there was a change in the coverage where people, even people who were ordinarily somewhat apologetic, at least, kind of stepped back and said, this is just going way too far. You know, Nazis, for God's sake, Nazis and Klan
yeah.
members?
Yeah.
How do you take their side?
Right.
You know, I mean, even if you allowed, even if for the sake of conversation you said, okay, let's just say that the violence that occurred in Charlottesville was equally to blame on both sides. Let's just take the violence out of the picture there
mm-hmm.
and say, I don't believe that, by the way, but let's, you know, just say that that's true. You've still got on one side Nazis and
yeah.
on the other side people who don't like Nazis.
Right.
Are you gonna be on?
That's an easy layup, man.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, so yesterday was Unity Day, as you know, and he said it's time to heal the wounds that have divided yeah. us and seek a new unity based on common values and divide us. We are one people with one home and one flag. And it makes you think, do you mean the Confederate flag? The Nazi
yeah.
flag? Which flag?
Yeah.
You're not even sure which flag he means,
yeah, the
right?
The Confederate flag thing in the monuments is a sort of interesting moment for us as a country because, you know, a neighbor asked me the other day, well, what do you think about that? What do you think about these monuments? And I said, ask yourself what you think of all those Nazi statues they have in Germany
right.
all
yeah.
over the place.
Right.
Right?
Not
right.
anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Because you know, that really is the closest analogy to the Confederacy is that we have readily available
right.
is something like Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
We're talking about slavery here.
I mean, Ron, one thing, too, that I think, you know, if shown in polling bipartisan condemnation of is he's hiring his kids, you know, having his kids in the White House. And, I, you know, you obviously as a former president's kid. You
I
said
didn't
on
get
MSN.
A job. I didn't get a job in the White House.
Oh, you're just bitter, Ron. But I mean, you said on MSNBC, Jared Kushner isn't exactly Robert Kennedy. You wonder why these people with no relevant experience are where they are with security clearances, and this is one of the challenges that John Kelly's going to face here. You said all things are supposed to flow through him now, but he's got a boss too, the president.
Right.
And we've seen how well that's gone, that John Kelly controlling him, right?
Yeah. Well, nobody's going to control him because nobody he can't control himself.
Yeah. Right.
That's
right.
His pathology is such that he can't control himself. I mean, how many times have we have we, I think, just assumed, all of us, well, at some point here, he's just going to kind of turn a corner and start behaving a little bit like a normal grown-up. And yet, you know, and he'll go read a speech. Somebody will write some speech, and he'll kind of reluctantly read it off the teleprompter. You know, you can tell he doesn't like it.
Oh, yeah.
Doing it
a anymore. Kid being forced into a book report, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, when he do the Klan and the white supremacists.
the end.
But then the next day, he'll undo it. He can't help himself.
Yeah.
And does the whole thing.
Yeah, and I you're like, when is the media going to stop falling for teleprompter Trump?
Yeah. I think they're stopping now. I think we've heard a lot of people talking about, you know, you got the two Trumps. You got teleprompter Trump, and you got real Trump. And
right.
Real Trump is the president, you know?
Right.
The teleprompter isn't the president.
Ron, having obviously watched politics and being on the inside as long as you have, what is your prediction here? And I know it's hard to predict, you know, but I really just do feel like the end game is near.
I hate making predictions. The last prediction I made was on a Hardball, and it was to Chris Matthews, and it was that Trump would never get the nomination. The Republican nomination.
Sad trumpet.
But as soon as people started voting, they would realize that this is, you know, we can't do this. I had a higher opinion of the American public than was justified.
Yes,
honestly.
Yeah.
Well,
but who would have seen all this?
In a majority, we did vote for the other person.
Well, yeah, and Ron, I also think we're still just seeing the tip of the iceberg on Russia. So who could have
predicted that?
Yeah,
Mueller hasn't even done his thing. I think, you know, Tony Schwartz, the guy who actually wrote the art of the deal and has some real insight, I think, into Donald Trump's character since he spent so much time with him. His take on this is that Trump will quit.
Yeah, trust me, I say it every day.
I've said that's probably true.
And claim victory, right? Like he always does.
Of course, yes. Whatever happens, he'll say he won. But that's
pathology. And he would have made America great if it weren't for
fake news stopped him. and he'll go start some, you know, he'll start some other scam.
Right.
You know, his life is all one scam, one grift after another.
Exactly. And he's a coward. This is what he does. He cuts and runs. He goes bankrupt.
Yeah.
He, you know, doesn't, you know, scrams without paying the bills. I mean, I just think once Mueller's getting close and he has no choice, I that's what I think. But anyway, we shall see.
I think you're right. I think you and Tony Schwartz have that right.
That's
probably the most likely. Because the other alternatives are 25th Amendment and impeachment.
Yes.
And that requires the Republicans to do something.
Well,
but now
he's in full-on war with them, and that becomes more likely. I mean, we're hearing inside stories that Republicans are hoping Mueller finds something so that,
they probably do in a way, because then they would get President Pence.
Unless Mueller gets him too,
then it, you know, indicts Pence too.
Yeah,
that's, and then we get President Paul Ryan.
Ron, before you go, I'm sure you've heard this. I obviously, as a former president's son, some people have said if this gets bad enough that all of the former presidents should come together to ask him to step down. What do you think the likelihood of that is?
Zero.
Okay.
You might have some of them individually, you know, make comments about, but I don't see all the presidents getting, former presidents getting together.
Yeah.
No.
I'd like to see George Bush Sr. parachute in and cold cock him. Is that, what do you think the likelihood is of that?
Really? Or maybe 50%?
Ron, thanks as always for taking time for us. Been dying to talk to you. We'll talk again soon.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Ron. There he goes. Ron Reagan Jr.